Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you will find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you will find our discussion empowering. Hello, my name is Alan Collins. I am the partner who heads up the abuse team at Hugh James, and I'm joined by my colleague Danielle Vincent. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Alan.
Welcome to this latest podcast in which we are going to be discussing apologies. But before we get underway, I need to point out that in these podcasts, we often talk about very sensitive matters, which understandably people listening in could find very distressing. So if you think you may be troubled in any shape or form by the content of this podcast, you may want to go off and do something else. Otherwise, please do stay with us. So, back to the subject matter, apologies. Well, we all know what an apology is, saying sorry. And when you say sorry, it's meant to be genuine. And sometimes there can be a bit of a row, a bit of a disagreement over whether that apology is sincere or not. So I'm sure we're all familiar with that kind of territory. But what we're going to be looking at in this podcast is the giving of an apology where someone has been harmed, sexually abused, say. And we're going to be talking about this because the government, that is the Ministry of Justice, has put out a consultation paper, Reforming the Law of Apologies in Civil Proceedings. And it would like people to contribute. So if this is of interest to you, number one, please do listen to this podcast. And number two, have a look at the government's consultation paper. And the website is consult.justice.gov.uk/. But I'll put that website address in the text that goes up when this podcast gets hosted. So, apologies. Well, the government has said that it needs to look at what's going on and see whether there's need for reform, because apologies have been sort of part of the legal landscape for quite a few years now. And under the Compensation Act 2006, parties are able to effectively offer an apology and for that apology not to be legally binding. So to copy from the consultation paper, it says, the current law is set out in Section 2 of the Compensation Act 2006 and aims to encourage those defending claims not to be deterred from offering apologies by a perception that doing so would constitute an admission of liability. Whilst there is little empirical evidence to suggest how effective the current legislation is, the general view is that it had very little impact as parties, understandably, very averse to offering apologies for fear of liability being admitted. This consultation therefore looks at the role of apologies generally within the sphere of civil justice and asks whether the Compensation Act is suitable or whether it should be replaced with new legislation, and if so, what the new regime should be. One fundamental question is whether it should be easier to make an apology. There are points to be made on both sides. Some argue that protected apologies help settle cases early, and so it should be easier to make one. On the other hand, others believe that the apology will not assist in the resolution and therefore that the desire for one need to be addressed in an apology statute. End of quote. I could go on reading from this, but that would defeat the purpose of this podcast and the discussion that Danny and I are going to have.
It's an interesting proposal because, as you and I have discussed when preparing for this, it's very independent on what the client, somebody who's coming to you, wants. You know, we often have people that an apology is basically the founding thing that individual may want. And then you may have clients that actually the apology, they don't feel like it's worth the paper it's written on. For example, if the abuser's dead or the organisation, this is now coming from someone who's not involved at all in what happened, especially if it was a number of years ago. So there's that element you need to consider, what the individual actually wants. But what I thought was interesting with this consultation was there's been a comparison in the law in Scotland, Northern Ireland and in Hong Kong. And both in Scotland and Hong Kong, the position is quite clearly that even if an apology is made, there's no admission of liability. And I wonder whether that actually means that the cases do settle quicker, or that their clients that they're representing actually feel like they've obtained, you know, perhaps better closure because they've had a formal apology. Northern Ireland doesn't have anything in regards to this, from my understanding. So there is a bit of variation here.
There sure is. I think there's several strands to this. So, you know, sometimes I feel that there's a contradiction in terms. Apology means apology. You're apologizing for something that you've gone and done that you shouldn't have done. You're saying sorry, which is different to what is sometimes termed as an expression of regret. You know, so I perhaps I'm getting a bit sort of cynical in my old age. I just see these sort of, in some cases, you get these very carefully crafted letters coming in from defendants, usually their lawyers, sort of saying in one paragraph, we're very sorry for what happened. But on the other hand, next paragraph, not our fault. So, you know, complete contradiction in terms. But anyway, we'll come back to that. It reminds me of a very sort of profound moment I had in my career quite a number of years ago now. It was a client of mine, lovely person. She was very brave. She had been very badly sexually abused as a child by her uncle. And she wasn't the only victim. Her cousins had also been sexually abused by this man too. And it was a sort of, I suppose, a sort of family known sort of secret, as it were. Mm-hmm. And then you jump ahead several decades, 30 or 40 years, and one of the cousins actually goes to the police and makes a complaint about uncle. And so there's a police investigation, and the police understandably want to find other victims as potential witnesses. So they approach my client, who does the right thing, I think, and says, yeah, I'm prepared to help. I'm a victim too. And she supported the police and the prosecution in two separate trials, and he was convicted and sent to prison for, you know, a long, long time, probably die in prison. So she did her public duty by going all the way through, you know, the criminal process and having to give evidence, be cross-examined and all the rest of it. And she said to me, all I wanted him to do was acknowledge what he had done and to say sorry. I wasn't interested in him going to prison. And that's quite profound. And listeners would say, well, you know, they might understandably not agree with her sentiment. And they may say, well, of course he should have gone to prison. But I think that's missing the point, or trying to miss the point that she was trying to make, which was she wanted him to acknowledge what he had done and say sorry for all the enormous harm that he had inflicted on her and other members of the family. And so I think from a survivor perspective, and I'm not sure this is understood widely, they want acknowledgement, don't they? They want someone to acknowledge the harm that has been caused. And I think with this consultation on apologies, they're missing something. It's sort of not recognizing that it's a lot more profound than just someone saying, a solicitor on behalf of a party saying, we're very sorry for what happened. But I think that's getting away from what survivors would be saying, what this really should be all about.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And as we say, it's very individually specific on the person that's coming to us, because as we say, you know, you could have somebody that just will not want an apology from an abuser or an organization that's failed them. And you do see it, and we've both seen it with experience as well, when we've had clients that have wanted an apology, and especially on the cases that were quite widely publicized in the press, such as the football abuse, is that actually in the end, the organizations were willing to provide apologies, but they weren't for, you know, the years of litigation going on, because I think that they were worried of effectively a floodgates opening, that they'll send an apology and then all of a sudden they'll have lots and lots of other people come forward, which is wrong in that respect, because as the paper is at the current moment, it doesn't accept liability, but can mean a lot to certain people.
Indeed. And which reminds me of all the work that we've done in Jersey, for example, where there has been a public apology and also individual apologies for those survivors who wanted an individual apology. So for some survivors, that's absolutely right. It means a great deal. And as I said, in Jersey, in the wake of, the terrible cases that we know about, arising from Hurtigruten and other children's homes and other very sad cases, there has been that public apology by the then Jersey government and individual apologies too. And that's meant an awful lot to many people. But of course, that's been given in the context of a much broader canvas, in which in Jersey there was the public inquiry and also the two compensation schemes to pay compensation to survivors. So it's a bigger picture, in that the apology or apologies were given in the context of doing other things for survivors, compensation and so on. And I think this brings me on to the point that troubles me with this consultation, is I don't like personally seeing apologies being given, but then in the next breath, but, because that completely detracts from, in my view, the sort of candidness or the candor of the apology that's being given. And I think here we are in 2024. We should be doing better than this. Victims of sexual abuse shouldn't be treated in this sort of way. I think they deserve better.
Yeah. And the other side of this that we discussed was that if the apology is the only recourse that the individual can get, depending on the specific facts of the case, you know, the abuser's dead, for example, or there's no organisation to potentially sue because of, you know, whatever changes may have happened over the time, so that there's not a civil claim that can possibly be successful, the apology may be the only recourse that that individual may get. So there may be much more importance on that.
Yeah, I get that. And I wouldn't want to detract from it at all. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I think. I'm not a survivor. What matters is what the survivors think, you know, the people that we try and help. You know, some clients actually say to me, well, if I am successful with my claim, I do want an apology, which is entirely understandable and legitimate, you know.
As you say, and then sometimes you get clients that are almost offended at the idea of having an apology, because they just don't think it means anything. It doesn't change anything. So it is a very individual, an individual opinion, I think, on the apologies. But I do think it is right for the government to look at this and get feedback on it, and look at the other, as I say, the other jurisdictions and what they do on it.
Well, that's right. And I think there's an opportunity here to actually go a lot further, you know, because there's been talk over the years about having a protocol that the key players, so to speak, should adhere to. You know, they have these protocols in the various Australian states which seem to be successful, and we ought to have one here. And it's all about gearing the parties to follow a non-litigious route to resolve the survivor's complaints or claim. And that, of course, can, you know, include an apology. But it should not be an excuse to try and manage the survivor, because I have seen, in some settings, religious settings in particular, these sort of internalized schemes, which on the face of it seem to be all very worthy, to try and resolve complaints of abuse and sexual abuse and emotional abuse and so on. But you then find, either intentionally or unintentionally, those operating the scheme sort of managing the survivor. And again, my own personal view is that that's entirely inappropriate, if not downright wrong. So I think there's a big discussion to have here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how the consultation goes, what follows on from it.
Yeah, I think we should contribute to it. And I think as many people and organisations as possible should contribute to it, because it's an important opportunity. As I said, my own personal view is it should go a lot further.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So for our listeners as well, if they've got opinions on it, as we have a wide range of both experts and survivors, to get in contact with us. Or as you say, you'll put the contact details so everyone's opinion can be listened to.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, the most important voices are going to be those of the survivors, not people such as me. But I am going to contribute, and I'm going to say, well, I think apologies should be absolutely genuine and not sort of weasel words with expressions of regret and, you know, that kind of language, and which I think is, you know, I think personally is wrong. But anyway, that's me with my me banging the drum, so to speak, standing on the soapbox. So interesting. Thanks, Danny, and thanks for listening in. As Danny said, you know, contribute, and if you've got any suggestions, ideas about this podcast or any other podcasts or future podcasts, then please do get in touch. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Danny.
Bye, listener.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.